Welcome to Emotional Sobriety. Welcome back, faithful podcast listeners, and welcome back, Alan, who's been busy, he's been traveling, and we've got the band back together, Tom and Alan, on Emotional Sobriety Podcast. How are you guys doing today, and how's your emotional sobriety?
Let me get my dipstick.
I know, yeah, Tom. Let me borrow it after you're done with yours, Tom.
That's not sanitary, man. It's like...
Well, it depends where you stick that dick stick, Tom. Get your head out of the goddamn gutter, would you? God, this is a Saturday. The
day put it this way. It's got to go in there where we're going to find something out about my emotional sobriety one way or the other. There's no guarantee, buddy.
What orifice that might enter, right?
Absolutely. I've got no complaints that would hold up in court. Feel like I'm smooth sailing, enjoying nice weather in the summer on the farm. So nice weekend.
Yeah, cool, man. Yeah, I woke up. I feel solid today too. My legs are getting better. I'm finally walking around without a cane. Still limping a bit, but there's sometimes I can walk even without a limp right now. And I'm enjoying this beautiful weather. And the thing that's, I think that's helping my leg a lot is Cece and I have been swimming about the last, probably out of the last 14 days, we've been in the pool 12 days out of 14.
Wow. Well, and that will help. I mean, that's, yeah.
We're having so much fun. Like I got these, this one company makes these little, they look like gems, right? That you throw in the pool and dive to get them. And so diving to get the gems, and we, Jesus, the pirates are coming, Dad, and we get on our ship. And we try to get away from the pirates. And we're having so much fun, man. I'm just enjoying this a lot. And it's got a jacuzzi too, that with the pool, and I've been able to fire that thing up, and I'm really enjoying it. It's got a slide, a water slide going into it. I've been going down the slide.
Ooh. Oh, man. Well, so, you know, some of us that just don't stop enjoying shit like that. So it's not just CC playing, it's you too.
I feel like a big kid again, man. I really do. I love the, and you know, it's when you're, it's hot and humid, there's nothing like getting in a pool to cool off.
No kidding. It makes it worth getting out of the pool so that you can dry off and get miserable. So you know, it's just, so you can jump back in.
So I'm in a good place. I'm looking forward to Father's Day tomorrow. I have some friends coming over, going to spend a day, and I'll be with my girls or with Jess today. And I just love it whenever I'm with them. And so I've been in a good place. I had a good time at the French Open. I got to see some tennis and got to experience that, as well as some of the other wonderful parts of Paris. I love museums, so I got that. Look, I was limited because of my leg, but I probably at least logged in a mile and a half, if not 3 miles a day. I'm walking around there, which is also good for my leg. So I've had a good 3 week stretch here that I'm feeling pretty good.
You've come a long way in a relatively short time.
Feels like a long time, but I think it is a relative.
Well, it's been longer than you had anticipated because of the complications, but in the break. But it's still, I mean, you don't, you know, I mean, this is your Marine quality, your athlete quality. You don't let up. So it's, you know, you keep, and this is a great metaphor it's a metaphor. It's just a comparison to recovery. That's what we do, is we just keep moving forward no matter what. And it's like you fall down, you know, let somebody help you back up, brush yourself off. And if you got to go with a limp, you fucking go with a limp.
That's it. That's right, man. That's right. Right on, Tom. Right on. How are you doing, Patrick?
Well, you know, before I give my update, I just wanted to comment that you're an object lesson, Alan, in how when we're going through the really rough stuff, there's so much value in just sticking it out, because there's so many times when I've like been going through my darkest days, and I'm speaking to like my time in recovery, you know, these last 6 years. The time before was really shoddy, but in recovery, I'll be having a terrible time, you know, I'll be down in the dumps, And then somehow flash forward to like it could be days later or maybe it's weeks later, and I'm just in a state of bliss and I'm connected to people and I'm doing life and not really like going against the grain with life, but going with going riding the wave. And I remember that dark spell, and I'm just so grateful that like because that's what I think recovery and emotional sobriety is, right? Is that you stick it out even when it's feeling bad. And we kind of develop the knowledge over time that like, sometimes the coffee takes a bit to percolate. Sometimes the seeds take a little while to bear fruit, whatever the metaphor you want to use. You were always going to get to this bliss, Alan. You just had to endure some hell on the way towards getting to
Well,
it.
Patrick, there's another level of what you're describing that I think is it's really I'm working with a couple of clients right now where I'm really trying to find words. This will help help words a way to describe it. It's understanding what living life is in recovery and being healthy. And understanding that it's you don't measure it by, are you having a good day? It's like living in the moment is not even about living. Sometimes as we're talking about here, living in the moment sometimes is just sitting right in the middle of the fucking pain. It's but what I was thinking is you're saying that and having experienced the same thing that within a matter of a short amount of time. And nowadays, sometimes even within a day, I can be in a dark spot and be in a bright spot later. And I tell people just to memorize that pattern because that pattern is repeating for all of us all the time. So that while you're in the darker spot, rather than try to think, oh, I demand that I get to the lighter spot. I go remember what that from there. Oh, this is all temporary. It'll be better. The light's coming. We don't panic at the end of every day when the sun goes down, because it gets dark. Because we know. And we need to know that, like you said, as long as, again, go back to what I was saying about getting up, even if with a limp, as long as we're moving forward, as long as we're doing the practice that we all set for ourselves, it's like that pattern is going to continue. We're not going to get to a place where it's always happy. It's just going to, the pattern's always going to, we can always continue to understand that we're going to experience all these emotions, and we're not going to be stuck in any one state.
Yeah, well, and as a way of just giving my update before we move ahead to this Grapevine article, I'm heartened whenever I hear somebody in the group say or in the fellowship say, emotional sobriety fellowship, that relationships are some of the hardest stuff that we have to, navigate in our day-to-day lives, and it's not supposed to be easy. Now, it's not supposed to be all gloom and doom either. Like I'm adamant that like I'm not trying to say that everything's fucked or that, I don't look at the challenge of relationships as a glass half empty situation. But, especially as like I've gotten more and more recovery and my life's gotten bigger, there's challenges that have deepened. And I think like as my life gets big and I'm kind of juggling more responsibilities and I've got more people now to attend to, I've got more chickens to feed. I'm gonna come face to face with my own shortcomings, and the leveling up, the further on you get into a sober life, is something that I'm very much like in grappling with right now, and it means that I spend a lot of days just like not feeling super great about how adept I am at being a sober person, but that's I'm not taking that I'm not taking that as an opportunity to not be a sober person. I'm just looking at that as like, wow, well, this is the next level.
Well, you're also not defining that as not being a sober person, emotionally sober or any other kind of sober. It's like that's the you're t you're describing exactly what I'm talking about. That the idea is, when we're doing well, in our definition of what we want to be doing in our lives, how we're and I think how we're doing well, we're doing well in living our lives and the way we choose to live them, is we're gonna be experiencing the whole range of emotions. you know, and we're going to have dark times and light times and all this other stuff. And so I think the idea, and culturally, this is a really hard thing to, because we really are swimming against the current there when we're realizing, you know, doing well is, does not just mean I'm feeling good. It's, yeah. It's, you know, Patrick, you and I were talking about that ahead of time with a person that you and I know. And I was saying, you know, she's always doing better than she thinks she is. And you said, and you'll get this, Alan, and Patrick said, I hope that's true for me. And I, of course, I just went, shit, it's, we may have invented that concept for you, man. So trust other people's feedback to you. You know, it's like, because we're not always the one we're not the ones who can see ourselves the clearest.
Yep.
I'll try. I love doing these articles. This is Tink, Tink, Tink from the January 2024 edition of AA Grapevine by Beth S. from Benicia, California. If she ever forgets what gave her an incredible sober life, all she has to do is get quiet and listen. I spent 10 years drinking and medicating myself into a daily stupor. By the end of that time, I had no money, no honest relationships, and no hope. I was suicidal and spent the last week of my drinking literally trying to pull the trigger. Then the magic happened. The universe swooped in and saved me from myself. I spent an entire day not putting any liquor or chemicals into my body, and then it happened again and again. I'd found AA. That was 33 years ago.
It's amazing I survived my early sobriety. For someone so brilliant, in quotes, I was really a slow starter. I came to sobriety knowing I was smarter and cooler than the rest of you were. I picked sponsors who looked really good on paper, then I didn't call them. I was sponsoring myself. I camped out at the local sober clubhouse, used it as a dating service, and made some pretty sketchy choices. No steps, no growth, dry, not sober. After almost 2 years of going to AA, I became suicidal again, locked in my folks' house. They were out of town, and the house was full of booze. No one knew where I was, and I put a bottle in my hand. Seconds before I took the drink, I heard the voice of God, clear as a bell, say, "You can't do this. Party over."
That day, my recovery started. I finally joined the fellowship and started taking the steps because I desperately wanted to live. Well, I began a partnership with the power of the universe and my life began to change. To this day, 33 years later, I continue to work the steps. The more I invest, the more laughter, the greater the magic. Mm-hmm. Now, here I am, 61 years old, living an incredibly life full of rich, beautiful moments. How the heck did that happen? God, that's how. Sober by the grace of God.
Whoa.
One recent morning, my car was covered in ice, so I hosed it down and went back to get my things. While I was in the house, the water droplets refroze. I drove down the freeway. The frozen pellets from the hood started melting loose and hitting my windshield. Tink, 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 it sounded like. God knocking on my window. That's how I hear the voice of God now. In beautiful moments, when I remember to pay attention, God saved my life, and AA gives me that beautiful moment. And AA gave, let me say that again. God saved my life, and AA gives me these beautiful moments. Beth S., Benica, California.
Amen.
Wow, that visual detail of the knock on the windshield.
Well, you know what stood out to me on this one, because look, we have a lot of secular people listen to our podcast. And so I hope that you can separate the wheat from the chaff for yourself with this, because there's some real value in what she's saying. First of all, that emotional sobriety means waking up. I mean, you know, there's a lot more to recovery than just putting the plug in the jug. And that's what she realized 2 years into her recovery. She was suicidal. And that's not an uncommon experience. Sometimes people experience it at two, sometimes 10 years, 15, 20, 25 years, 30 years. And so at any point in time, we may get that message that it's time to see if there's more for us in recovery. You know, I love what Ernie Larson said about this, Tom, and I think, Patrick, you guys will resonate to this. He says, Your recovery cannot take you further than your definition of recovery.
Well, that's beautiful.
You know, so how we define recovery becomes how we experience recovery.
Right.
And more, the broader, the more inclusive, the more expansive that we have a definition of what recovery is, which to me is what happens when you include emotional sobriety into your definition, the more possibilities are there to discover, and the richer your recovery can be. I mean, what we say all the time, you don't have to be sick to get better. And emotional sobriety is sometimes about helping somebody who's struggling like she was with suicide. But a lot of times it's just helping somebody who's got a good recovery program have a better one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's the piece of this that I really want people to hear, is that whatever happens that wakes us up to the calling, that there's more. And look, it resonates or it parallels what's inside each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Each and every one of us are continuing to try to become more and more and more of what we can be.
Yeah.
And that's what recovery is about as well. It's the discovery of this new possibility in our life, that this growth and our development is an ongoing lifelong process.
I love the definition thing from Ernie Lawson, because I'm applying it to what we just read. It's like, so because what it immediately tells me is our definition of recovery changes, grows and changes constantly, and the three of us, we can all remember. I'll speak for myself. I can remember when the definition of recovery was, you know, saying no in my head to every drink I thought about taking. You know, I used to, when I first got sober, the first days of my recovery, I always say I could have told you how many drinks I did not have, because that's what I was doing that day. I was not having drinks. It's like, and then, you know, and emotional sobriety widens that. And so when we think about that, I think about what the article said. So her early recovery, she says she did a poor job with early recovery, but that was her early recovery. That's what it was. And, you know, she came to the clubhouse, she got dates, you know, and she's still, as we say, she's still doing field research. She's still learning. I mean, we need to learn that, you know, everything doesn't clear up just because we stop drinking. And she certainly learned that. Reminds me of a client of mine that I love her story. And it says that she moved to Nashville eventually, but I was working with her. She was up in New York, and it took her forever to acknowledge she was an alcoholic, and then another forever to think, even consider going to AA. And I don't know how long she would drive to AA, and I would talk to her in our sessions on the phone. And has she gone to an AA meeting? Yeah, she had. She didn't define it that way until I helped her with that. But she had gone and sat in the parking lot. She didn't go in. She just went to the parking lot, sat there with every intention of getting up and going in, and still didn't go in. You know, we were talking about it just the other day about that, and going like, you know, that was your path, man. You and your car got there, you know, many times before you went in. And then she went in, I think she stayed 5 minutes and went back out and got in her car and left. That's her story. That's her recovery. Like the three of us, her story has continued to expand. The author of this thing is the same thing. I want to echo what you said, Alan, that you know, don't get lost with the word God getting anything there. It's like, you know, I mean, not especially with this particular image, the tink, tink, tink on your windshield. It's nature. It's all of nature. Which includes, you know, if you read the philosophers, it includes the nature of humankind. And that's what we're trying to be, as congruent with our nature as we can.
Right. And we're a part of it. We're not separate from it.
Yes.
Part of nature. Yeah. Reading this article made me wonder what it is I'm not doing, what it is I could be doing, ways that I'm, as Herb K likes to say, you know, sleeping and imagining that I'm awake. My definition of recovery early on was to kind of be the hope and change I want to see in the world, or at least attempt to. I didn't think for a while when I was in my addiction that I was cut out to do a full normal standing upright kind of life. It sounds really simple, I know, but just doing my taxes every year. Like, I wasn't taking some principled stand against taxes and not paying my taxes. I just didn't feel a part of. Everything was an abstraction to me when I was in my addiction, except for like that craving and the satisfying of the craving. But then I would notice, like, even when I was in my cups, I would kind of look out at other people, the normals, and I would see what they're doing, and I would kind of feel a flash of hope and a recognition and a go get 'em, and a kind of like, I could see other lives and other people as beautiful, and I could like get invested in their struggle. And eventually I just realized, well, maybe I can be a part of that. Recovery can be like a stream that I can enter that will enable me to be a full human in the way that I wasn't able to, because there's all these chemicals and these addictive behaviors keeping me down.
Well, credit where credit is due. This is a place where I want you to give yourself some more kudos, more credit, or accept more credit from me on this. Is like what you just said is a more detailed version of what your feedback was to what I said, which was we're part of nature, we're not outside of nature. And then you told the story about you being outside of everything. You know, not belonging, not even that. It's like, and then, but you, it also the second. If there's a three, is a three act story. It's like the second act was you at the window looking in at other people and seeing something and considering the possibility. You know, you sitting in the parking lot. You know, of life. Maybe I could go in there, and you're fully in now. It's like not only that, when I was just what I was saying, when I was saying what I said before, and your immediate response was that you didn't go through any cognitive process to get to that. It was just, yes, you're not outside of nature. You're part of nature. You're part of, no, forget about the word nature. Just you're not outside of things. You're part of everything. You know, and that's what's happening. Yeah.
I suspected that I believed more in participating in life than I was behaving. And so I thought I'd give it a shot. No guarantees as to whether or not that hypothesis would be correct. Why don't I try it, life? And then I can always give it back later. If I'm not.
Well, but that's good. We're always trying to find new definitions or I don't know, new definitions, but new ways to describe emotional sobriety. A full participant in life. And Patrick, I mean, I understand nobody can see us the way we see ourselves, and we see other things that ourselves and other people don't see. But from where I'm sitting, you are a full participant in life.
I will endeavor to keep trying to be. I'll keep at
Are
it.
you hearing that? Are you hearing that? My perception of you. I can't tell you the truth about you. You can only do that. But my perception of you is that you are a full participant in life. Are you hearing that?
Well, hey, I hope it looks good,
That's
I'm
a
always,
yes, no question. Your Honor,
I see that.
can I treat you as a hostile witness? It's like he ain't easy there, Alan.
No, he's not easy. I had a client the other day say, "I hate myself for hating myself."
Oh
Oh, I feel
God, yeah.
that. I feel
Beat
that.
her, beating ourselves up in layers. But to me, I appreciate you saying that because that I use that one all the time because the idea, you know about my should monster and stuff is what I realized is you just get in at the layer that you can get in. And so what I basically got to was I could observe myself telling myself I was a piece of shit instead of telling myself I was a piece of shit for being a piece of shit. And once you can just get that observer place, oh, there I am beating the holy crap out of myself again, you're in a better place.
Well, look, let's see how many articles we got left in this Save Eight Grapevine. I mean, I think we're getting near the end. We got the next one called Life Goes On. Another one after that is Batter Up. There's a couple small ones. We'll probably do the last two articles at the same time because they're just half pages.
Okay, cool. I'm loving doing this.
Happy Father's Day, Alan.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Thank you, guys.
And
All
to all the
right.
fathers.
Tend your life, tend your myth. Cultivate your narrative with whomever you're with.